Yo, welcome to the inaugural episode of No Repercussions Podcast. I'm your host, Brunson. We got the crew on the line today, so I'm going to start off with Tiff. Tiff, how you doing, Tiffany?
I'm good. Life's good. How are you?
I'm great. We got the boy, Mr. K. What's up?
What up, dude?
We got the boy, King Keys. What it do?
What up, though?
We got my main man, producer extraordinaire, Smitty.
What up, what up, what up?
And last but certainly not least, we got the homegirl, Lake. How you doing, Miss Lake?
It's me. Hey.
I'm glad to see all you beautiful people. Everybody good? Everybody hearts in the right place? Y'all good? Y'all ready? You ready to do this?
Yeah.
It's
a long time coming.
We're ready.
Go ahead. Sing that that long time coming for me real quick. Let me hear it.
I'm drawing the blank.
But I know a day's gonna come.
There we go. A change gonna
it's
come.
It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.
I was trying to hit it from the beginning. Yep.
But I'm afraid to die. Okay, and on that note, let's get started. Let's run right into these topics. So starting off, I want to ask you people, and I'm going to start off with you, Miss Lake. And I'm going to ask you, should DNA testing be mandatory at birth?
Absolutely. I feel like DNA test. Can we go from there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I don't believe in that shit where somebody just giving their words based on this is your baby, you know, because I've known way too many dudes who've gotten married and been forced to take in children that wasn't his, or guys who just have paid child support because he paid, you know, he signed the birth certificate. And then we find out years later, for whatever reason, that the child isn't there. You know, if the child is born out of wedlock, you know, we should go back to the way things used to be. If that child is born out of wedlock, and there's no commitment between the parents, then hell yeah, if the state is paying for DNA tests, they should go ahead and pay for them. Oh, or the dad should.
Okay. Thank you for that. King Keys, what is your opinion?
I think it should be conducted when a child is born. I mean, I haven't been in a situation where I had to doubt, you know, if I was a father of the child. But, you know, there's a lot of shady shit out there. And, you know, folks have intentions and they're, you know, pin a kid on a person. So I just feel like just go ahead, have it done. That way, you know, we can just be on record, you know, and then go from there. I think even if you married, though, you know, because motherfuckers do shit.
So. Okay. So, and I'm going to go, well, no, let me go to Smitty. Smitty, what are your thoughts in regards to should DNA testing be mandatory at birth?
I disagree with that. No.
Why is that?
I believe that the police and the government should work harder to do things, right? Like it shouldn't be either. If we take everybody's DNA at birth, they have a database of this stuff. So when these kids create crimes in the future, it's already in the database. So I don't, and then at this time, you don't have the police doing any work. They just wait till you commit a crime, get your DNA. You did it. So we got you. We got your DNA in file since birth. Come on. You the person. They ain't got to do no work. I think police needs to, like, I don't think it should be an easy way to make it easier for you to solve crimes. Like, if you're going to solve a crime, you got to work for it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I did not read the talking points, and so I apologize. Thank you, Smitty, for putting us back on track. And I have to apologize to Courtney for cutting you off because you didn't get a chance to elaborate. I strictly went into like baby daddy trying to prove if he was the real
father. That's one of the topics. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
fine. Yeah. My thing was when we talked about this prior, my thought was criminal activities. I was like, I'm not going to let the police, like, to me, first off, as a baby at birth, I don't have a choice, right? So they're going to take my DNA and now it's in some database, and if I commit a crime and my DNA is found at the scene, they got it. They know who, you know what I'm saying? Like it's basically, I just wait back and see what happens as a police officer. Cause now I got all the people on crime. I know it's going to take a long time to build that database, but they will have it.
But see, and,
that's a bit different though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, see, for that to be in place, for me to be comfortable, you know, it'll have to be something in place where the DNA is destroyed. Like it doesn't need to be on record, you know, to do any matching in the future, you know, just to see, hey, are they related? Okay. You know, and destroy it, do whatever you got to do. Because at that point, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're tracking me, you know, you always have a way to get to me. You know what I'm saying? So
I know I didn't give my opinion, but I do, just at face value, if you were to ask me, Do I think that paternity tests should be completed at birth? I do. But then when you delve a little deeper into what's done with that DNA, what's done with, you know, all of these files, I'm all for it if it's all destroyed. If it's not destroyed after we find out the truth of who the parent is, then I think that, no, I'm completely against it, because I agree with Smitty. You just don't, if they're going to stockpile this information and use your DNA later against you in life, I'm completely not for it.
So my rebuttal to that is we didn't set the criteria of who is doing the mandatory testing at birth, whether it's private agency or whether it's government agency, right? Because a hospital is still private agency. And at that point, it's still on a HIPAA law. So you still would have to do a warrant to receive that, if we're going to that whole database stockpiling thing that they wanted to receive.
But how easy is it to get a warrant, right?
I mean, for HIPAA laws, HIPAA violations, like, I mean, self-incrimination, I don't know, right? Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're assuming that DNA is considered HIPAA, though. Like, because if you give it, because what there's precedent already set for this, right? The government is using these family tree databases to connect family members to criminals.
Mm-hmm.
They're already doing this. So what's stopping them from going a step further and saying, like, oh, we're gonna get your fingerprint, we're gonna get your DNA, we're gonna get everybody's DNA at birth. Yeah, we're gonna test it. Then wait, then you can double test it because you're gonna get the father's DNA to see if he matches. Now I got two people in a database. Like, I mean,
the same thing can be done now today with cord blood saving, stockpiling.
Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't store cord blood, though.
I mean, but yeah. If we make testing or mandatory, like I said, it goes back to what would be the laws being shaped around this DNA, because you're right.
And I mean,
if I can get the laws to start speaking to the fact that, oh, well, since the government is going to issue this test, then, I mean, I wouldn't want that either. Like, I wouldn't want. I mean, you got essentially a lineage of people, right? And one person's DNA test right then and there, like, and you got that for years. That shit, it turns into the minority report at some point. And now you, like Smitty said, like, your DNA, like, it's just there for the taking, for, you know. And like you said, Tiffany, anybody can break HIPAA laws, right?
And then it's like, you just create the system. Like, once the system is created where all of that DNA is stored, no matter who has control over it, no matter if it's HIPAA, no matter if it's the government, it just creates the opportunity for law enforcement to then get their hands on it. You don't give them the opportunity and they'll never have it, or they'll have to go through the proper legal channels that are available to them now.
Well, I just recently found out, I did my 23 or whatever, you know, and I was talking to an older aunt, and she was like, you know, I don't like what they're doing with that DNA now that you're in the system, this, that, and the other. They were able to connect me with a whole bunch of people. But for me, I'm not out here committing crimes. That's one. Secondly, with cell phones and electronic imprints that people are doing anyway, we're already being tracked and followed. So isolating just the DNA in that argument is like, they're going to find you and figure out who you fuck with, where you are, what your spending habits are, and, you know, where you were at a certain time in a certain place, you know, and then it just elaborates with the DNA. Now, if it's not mandatory to put my child's DNA in the system, no, I don't want to. But then at the same time, if they made it mandatory, then he needs to be rolled. He needs to grow up and be a good ass person. You know what I mean? And don't commit fucking crime. And don't. You know, oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Keith.
If I may interrupt, you know, I'm pretty sure we've all, you know, been to the hospital, you know, and they've taken our blood. You know, that's our DNA. If they want to be on some nefarious shit, I mean, it can get in their right hands if we were to commit a crime. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I look at it from that angle as well. Like, it's already out there. You know, I don't want to expose it, you know, anymore than I have to, just because I don't want it, you know. But like Lake said, I'm not about to, you know, I'm not no kingpin, man.
I understand the concept of not being I'm by no means a criminal. And I would assume that no one on this group, or no one in this group, is a criminal. And I'm not saying that you should hide your DNA or try to protect your DNA for criminal purposes. But what I am saying is allowing someone to not have to do their due diligence and giving over all of your another one of your rights to the system is just, for me, it's just a little too much.
Okay.
Because I feel like some things are private and I still need my own level of privacy. And like my man, dang, I can't even control my DNA at this point.
But could you before?
But aren't some countries more successful because they don't have so much control? You know, our country is losing their fucking minds because we have so much control over our own entity. Where countries who are actually being controlled by the government, and I'm not saying I want to go in that direction, you know, but they seem to have a little more control over society as a whole and what's going on.
But I think those countries are also only giving you a image. They control the image that you have.
You're right.
True.
That's what I'm about to say.
Let me get Mr. K in here. So, Mr. K, what are your thoughts in regards to should DNA testing be mandatory?
He better bring his shit on in here. We shouldn't have to stop this conversation. He better interject what he can.
Well, we play fair here. You know, we want to make sure everyone has a chance to speak, you asshole. So
sleepy smirk, like damn,
right? Yeah, all right, Mr. K, go ahead.
I was about to say, was I allowed to talk now, Smitty? Anyway, I don't think it should be mandatory. I do believe that it's sort of it's a hit or miss because you notice how DNA has helped free a lot of people who have been wrongly convicted, and that if they had that DNA at that time, then they would have been exonerated. But then also then there's times where it's an invasion of privacy. So, I mean, I don't think it should be mandatory. I think it could be voluntary. That's an option. But I mean, I just think it's just way too much invasion of privacy. I mean, like Lake was saying, they already got our fingerprints and half of the stuff and they got all your information. You can sign up for a grocery card, discount card, and you would give in more information than you would with your fingerprints. So it's just, I mean, I think it's just an violation of privacy when you make it mandatory.
So, Mr. K, you touched on a good point, which, you know, we all kind of talked about the scariness of what it would mean or what it could mean if we had our DNA on file. But to me, what would be some of the benefits if we were able to do this mandatory testing? Like, what benefit could you see this coming up? Like, to me, I think it would be useful for missing children and, you know, kidnapping victims and switch that birth children. So, like, what are some of the benefits that you think would be good? So, I'm going to go with you, Smitty. Tell me your benefits.
I'm going to Mr. K.
No, I'm going to you.
I think there's some of the benefits of what Lake said was Turner testing. I think it'd be good to kind of connect lost siblings and siblings that have been adopted out. I think it'd be good for that. I think it'd be good for connecting families over time. I think it'd be good to, you can request additional testing around the DNA so that you know what kind of potential diseases you have. I think you could do a lot with it by collecting DNA at birth. You can do so much with that kind of test that would be good for society as an overall thing, around health and you just like said, she did 23andMe. It lets you know the kid's background. You know what I'm saying? It just gives you a little bit of more information about who you are and your background and things like, you know, there's that food test, the food sensitivity test. You could get that done early. There's a lot of stuff that can happen with the DNA. So I think there's some benefits to it, but I think that those back to what I think, but I think it should be selective. I should choose that. I don't think it should be mandatory.
Okay.
Okay. What else you got, Tiffany? Like, what are your other opinions?
I mean, I just look at it from the science perspective. I think that it would help the science world leaps and bounds. Like scientists or doctors or whatever can study a wider sample of DNA. They don't have to go out and seek, you know, participants. They'd have a wide selection. So science, I think that it could potentially help leaps and bounds, but I'm not sure for me that benefit is worth the cost.
I can see that. King Keys and then Mr. K.
Yeah, I agree with Tiff, honestly. I mean, the issue would just be to get folks on board with, you know, a lot of folks, you know, feel like they don't want to be tracked. But it really could help out a lot just with the human race, you know, just with discovering new methods of treatment for different diseases and whatnot.
Okay. Mr. K?
I think it's, like everyone said, the benefits are great, but I also want to make sure that our privacy is our privacy. And this is, you know, part of what makes America great is that we get freedom to choose. We get
a... I'm sorry, that tagline not you.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
What is a good benefit of being in America is that we have the freedom to choose. We have a freedom if we don't want to disclose certain information, we don't want to disclose certain information. If I want to give out the information, then I want to get out the information. I wouldn't want something to be mandatory or told regardless of the benefits. I wouldn't want that to be something that I'm told I have to do.
Okay, thank you. And Lake, take us home. What's your thoughts?
I was thinking about the deterrent from making the United States not so great again. You know, if people have their DNA on file, maybe when they get older, we would think about some of the actions that we do because we know we can't be tracked and followed. You know, it's unbelievable how things are getting out of hand and how people are still making decisions as if they cannot be tracked, you know. And just like Mr. K had mentioned, to be able to get people off, how many rape victims are still waiting for their day in court or their day for peace of mind because they don't even know if their assailants are still out walking the streets, you know? So I'm on the fence about it because if it was mandated and this was something that everybody else was doing, I really believe that we would be living in a safer world. Honestly.
Okay. I can see that. Thank you for your opinion. Everybody, thank y'all for your opinion.
And by the way, I'm Snoop Dogg's cousin, according to my DNA. Shout out, cuz.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I found my slave owners. I seen my white cousins, my third and fourth white cousins on my ancestry. I'm like, oh, I'm about to hit y'all up for them reparations because reparations are required.
I really want to do it, but I just can't. I can't bring myself to like. You no longer control your DNA.
You already gave up that DNA.
Did I?
I mean, you gave up your fingerprints. You gave up your fingerprints.
Yeah.
Same difference. They got you. You got a phone. You get packages. You use Amazon. Like, it's a wrap. As soon as you're going to be having to pay you for your everything using the back of your hand. So
using a chip somewhere in your body.
It's all coming. Doo-doo. We're going to the Matrix. So,
and I'll be on a field somewhere off the
burn
grid.
That motherfucker down.
I will go off the grid so quick. Like, nope.
I believe you. You will right. be Sarah Connor out this bitch.
So,
absolutely.
Getting into our next topic. And fellas, we're going to take it back. We're going to take notes. I want all you fellas out there to grab your pens, your papers, your recording devices. You know, I want y'all to get this information.
Your hotspots.
Make sure you got good Wi-Fi connection for this one. So, going into it, we want to know, do women have a cheat code for the pussy?
Now, if I may interject, I'll just...
No, you can't. Are we going straight to the women? No, nigga, you don't know shit right now. We going right to the women.
Interject.
You cannot interject. Don't interject your male toxicity right now. We want to know the secrets, nigga. Stop.
This I'll default to Lake because I don't have a cheat code.
I want to know what's the definition of cheat code because that's something guys only do.
What?
Masturbate? That's a lie.
Oh, don't okay.
You sell them toys, nah.
Okay, y'all got to talk to me like I was born in 79. Okay, so I'm selling these Rose toys right now, right? And I think it's the best thing that ever happened during COVID. Are you talking about 10 speeds? Are we talking about masturbation, right?
10 speeds? What the fuck is that? A stunt
wait, let me, what is a cheat code for, on the question? The vagina? Because now yeah, so, I'm all type of lost on what the goal
okay, so let, let's back up, right? So we had an episode for the men, when men masturbate, right? And somebody said they got a cheat code for their dick, right? So you know how to get your, you know, when you jack off, you know how to get your dick
2 minutes
quicker than like, you know,
yeah,
real
I
quick.
Got that too.
Yeah, okay, so women, we asked them the same question to women. What's your cheat code? Like, how do you... You know,
how do you get off faster? Like if you only had 5 minutes.
And this is without any extra toys. I still sell the rolls on the side. Anybody can hit me up. Okay, but I have to lay on my right side, you know, and it's always my right side. And I could pinch my clitoris between my thighs and hump, and I could get off. And if I'm actually watching like a porn where somebody's getting screwed in the ass or something like that, I could probably get off in about 90 seconds.
Well, okay, I had two follow-ups. One, can you demonstrate the humping? And for two, does it matter who's the person getting penetrated in the ass or gender of the person getting penetrated in the ass?
Yes.
To which one? Yes, to what?
I guess the only people that I would be willing to show on this show is probably Smitty and Tiffany. But then Smitty said it was a whole bunch of people in his kitchen, right? So you're no longer
in my bedroom. I'm in my bedroom.
Right. Like, you can see him bust it open.
I tried to get y'all to do the busted challenge. Y'all wouldn't do it, so.
No, I don't feel like I need to show any of you what my cheat code is, because I just told you specifically that I have to be on my right side with my clitoris being squeezed between my thighs. And if I hump and watch somebody being screwed in the ass, I could probably get off in 90 seconds. Yes, the gender does. I'm not really big into gay porn.
Well, I'm in pegging. You know, you can be in pegging.
This is super specific.
Well, that's my code. I didn't know what he asked. No. Maybe. I'm going to pull that up tonight and see how that works for me.
All right. We got a testimonial here. On the next episode, we'll find out if Lake came from you watching pegging. You know, did it help Lake get off on the right side? Will she try her left side? Find out next time.
No, I can't try my left side.
Oh.
Like, you're just completely against the left side.
I've tried. I mean, I've been doing this for like 25 years, you know, man. So I do know what works for me with no toy, and the left side don't work as well. I guess when I grind, I have a tendency to grind to the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, like, you got a preferred hand. Like, dudes have a preferred hand.
Yeah, I'm a lefty, even though I write with my right.
Interesting.
This is so interesting.
Your turn, Tiff.
Oh, I was just going to let this shit slide right on by. Like,
No. Come on, Tiff.
No real opinion here.
Do you have a cheat code, Tiffany?
To go just straight for the clitoris. Just get right after it. But, like, I don't have a grind thing. No.
Do you have a technique? Like, is it
circular motions?
Two fingers.
Let me try to do this.
Circular one.
Wax on, wax off?
Like? Yeah, no, it's just circular motions.
Oh, like with the two fingers.
With the one finger.
And then small circles, the large circles.
My question is, what? I'm not smashing none of y'all. Why do I have to give up my personal cheat code?
This is the thing, though. This can be a tutorial for men that are listening to just put something in their repertoire. Like, to all of this, well, and you just try it.
Like, my own thing.
Well, it is your own. It is your own thing, but that is good knowledge to know.
Yes, because I'm going to use some of what both of y'all are saying.
No, I really think what y'all need to stop using is extra toys in the bedroom. You know, it's not so much about a cheat code, because girls are going to always get themselves off in the privacy of her own being if she's horny. But what you guys need to learn is the extra additives that's needed to get a woman off when she's with you.
Well, please elaborate.
Yes.
Here we go, Lake.
Teach us.
Let them know.
This is what we wanted.
So it's something that I explain to people. Like, you guys grow up fingering women, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is such a horrible thing to do. Don't teach your sons to do it. You know what I mean? You know, now there are certain toys or things that you can learn, but we don't really even need the penetration on the inside to really receive stimulation. But y'all actually always go for that inside move. It kind of grosses me out.
I've stopped that.
I mean, you stopped it now, but I said, you know, teach the young one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because we're taking notes here, you know.
Yeah, that pearl is it. That pearl is it.
Right. But I don't know how long it takes y'all to understand.
Till a woman tell us.
Pretty much. I mean, we go like, by look, our misguided attempts that we learn.
You have three fingers in me.
And at the side of the fucking that sausage links, good. Nigga, stop.
Please stop.
Right, like you guys are put a dick in here now, nah, shit.
Yeah, like, nigga, am I getting a gyno exam? Why are you separating me, nigga? I'm giving birth now with that fucking hand in me.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like an exam.
But can I ask a question?
Sure.
You guys are saying this is what you're looking for. So in my experience, telling a guy, and maybe the delivery could also be changed, but like telling a guy like, hey, this isn't it, or I don't like that does not always go over well.
It doesn't go over well.
Some men, I think, have egos. And if a man really wants, if a man wants to please you, like, because every woman's body is different. So tell me, like, you know, she wanted from the back, but you got to be on top. We're different than the last girl. Like, so just tell
me. But why do we have I think it goes instead of you guys asking?
I mean, I think it's a conversation. I think, you know, I'm not saying you got to tell me and I'm fucking up. But if I am fucking up, tell me. But like in the beginning, when we are learning each other, it should be a conversation like, oh, yeah. You know, this is what I like. What
I think it's a matter of experience, right? Too, like if it worked on the last chick, I'm gonna try that same move on the next chick because it worked. It worked really well. She was everywhere, and I'm like, let me see. And you like, why is he doing that?
It probably didn't like, work. Please with don't the ever last do
that
chick.
Again in life.
I mean, but see again, if no one told us that, if we keep taking the test and no one, and we always think we got 100%, no one to correct our test wrong, then why would we think? Why would we change?
That's
right?
Where my question lies.
Yeah, like it takes a person like Smitty saying, like it took us years to get over the misnomers of society and what we think y'all like and what we supposed to just be going to. It came to, okay, I know what I like, and you obviously have to know what you like. Let me ask you, or let's have this conversation beforehand. Otherwise, I'm going to go into my toolkit and my, you know, my bag, and then it's just going to be miserable for everybody involved. But, I mean, you got them people out there that just don't give a fuck, right? Like, the men are just simply going in it for theirs and theirs only and thinking they're the hot shit because no one ever told them differently.
Prime and it's on both ends. Don't think it's on both. It's definitely a conversation that people need to have because I'm finding more and more, like, the older I get, women are becoming more prude. And guys aren't saying what they really like to do because people are getting really elaborate with their sexuality, you know, what they want, what they need. You know, if you like to be a submissive or a dominant, you know, people are doing it more, but not finding people to do those things with. You know, that's also a turn on for me. Never mind. We're not talking about that right now. That's not a cheat code.
But isn't it a cheat code?
Well, being
choked. What gets you off?
Choking myself is no fun.
Auto asphyxiation, you know, like auto asphyxiation is a real thing.
Really?
So listen.
But yeah,
choking by yourself.
David Carradine died like that.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of patients tie a belt around your neck to a doorknob.
Nah, man. I ain't thing, but.
That sounds like repercussions. That sounds
no repercussions, by the way. You may have some choking yourself with a belt around the dough. Do not do that at home. Please do not try that at home.
That may happen. This is no repercussions.
I think it's a matter of making sure as you get older, because when you're young, like, I'm gonna be honest, when you're young, you're just trying to get your numbers up. Like, I know that sounds horrible, but you're just trying to get your numbers up. So if you get it and you like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. It's harder for us, even as a society, we don't talk to younger people about it, right? Like, I remember even when I was younger, like I was like 14, I remember the older men telling me stuff and I was like, and now I have come to find out that that's not even true, you know, because they had a misnomer about sex and we don't talk about it guys talk about it a lot, but we don't really talk about like what you really should do and how you really should please women. You should ask them things like that. Mm-hmm. Because, like even when you tell a young kid like that, he's still trying to get his number up, right? Like still trying to get his number up. So when he finally get to a woman that he actually like and a woman that actually can talk to them, they can mesh and get that relationship kind of together and get that sexual room and ask her, hey, what do you like? You know, well, I actually like when you choke my ass to almost passing out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that shit. You know, that kind of conversation. And I don't think Lake has been this like expressive with her sexuality as she had, like, you know, probably younger, she probably was more quiet. Now that she's older, she knows what she wants. She can I'm not saying she's dominant in the bedroom, but she can definitely tell a man, hey.
Do you know that firsthand?
Of course not.
Okay, then don't speak for me.
I mean, listen, we always trying to create content. So on the No Repercussions Only fan page, we're going to set this match up. So like to what Smitty was saying, right? Like, especially the way let me back up. The way I was introduced to like women and sex that kind of thing, like watching porn. There's very few porn out there that is women based, where it shows women in asexuality and what they want in the bedroom, right? Like, it's always, let me fuck like a jackrabbit.
It's porn out there. Y'all just refuse. It's the fantasy porn.
But see, I'm saying, like, it's not, you're readily not available. That. But yeah, we can get.
That's not the common porn that a guy is going to
We get.
He's
what
not
going to
watch it, period.
No, we are
talking about
now,
Barden Cable.
Yeah, like we talking about hitting the last button three times.
Spice Channel.
Yeah, so like we talking about in the back of the closet that we rewind the video back to where it was. Like, we talking about what we could get our hands on. And all that was just typical, you know, A, it's oral for the man, is have a bunch of different positions, it's rough sex, and then it's like, it was pleasurable for everybody. But most porn stars don't even enjoy that shit. You can look at it and tell, like, it took you to get older to look. She is in fucking pain. Like, you could tell the pain in her face, or I'm pretty sure she didn't like the smell of this nigga toenail in the back of her head. But, you know, when you see that flick, it's like, all right, well, you know, that's what men go by. So I think you definitely coming into your age where you get to talk about, or you have to mature as a man. I'm going to say that, to have conversations.
Smitty.
I'm listening.
What age were you when you wasn't offended when a woman told you what she didn't like and what she liked?
Probably like 27.
But prior to then, you would be offended?
I don't think I would be offended. I think I was more like
this is going to sound horrible, but I was like, bitch, you don't know.
Because you're a man and you just know what she's supposed to like.
Exactly. And that's the misnomers, right? Because ego.
So when I turned 27, like, I became more enlightened, right? And, you know, and this girl, she was like, I don't like that. And she was like, if you're gonna fuck me, you're gonna fuck me right. And I was like, huh? And she was just like, she's like, do it. And we just had the best sex after that, because she was, you know, she wasn't direction, but she was just like, I like to do this. And once I got to that, I was like, and I seen that she was enjoying it. That turned me on. And so it just kind of worked out. And so at that point, I was like, let me see if this works on the next chick. Let me ask. So what do you like?
It was like, I got the golden key. I mean, I would have to, like, I would say I was probably 22, 25, somewhere in that area, like in that range.
22,
like,
or 25, which one is it?
Shit, it was in that area. It was a learning period, nigga. It was college. I had to go to the University of the Pussy to learn and study and educate myself about what is needed, because otherwise you're just going to keep going and, you know, fucking up. Conversations in life. Conversations is always important in life. Go ahead, Mr. K.
I was going to say, well, around, I would say probably 23. And it was just because it was with the person, you know, I married. And so at first I was, because, you know, I felt thought I was experienced. And I was like, all right, cool. But then when I realized that the most important thing is to make her happy, just like she makes me happy, I was like, well, we communicate and we try. So let's just try to communicate and figure out what works best for her, because that's just going to work. I'd rather make her happy than do anything else.
Chris, what's your opinion? Come on, old man River.
Chris!
Come off mute.
What's the question?
This nigga right here. Go to sleep.
I was talking about something, but I can't.
We started off with discussing, do women have a cheat code for the pussy when they masturbate? And right now we're trying to say, at what age was it that you learned that it was okay, or not okay, but that you should ask and communicate with your partner as to what they enjoyed versus what you just thought was a prototypical and you going by nature?
Yeah, I was pretty young because I had a female best friend. So I was probably my 20, 21. But you're always learning, though. I mean, this is something that is never ending, because somebody's sexual preferences or like things they like can change. I mean, I've been through several different types of changes. Like, I had a phase where I liked my ball slap. Now I don't like my ball slap no more. I mean, you know, I've been freaky for a long time. You know, I'm still in the smothering, which I enjoy quite a bit. But like I was talking about that choking yourself shit. If you choke yourself, you got a point where you like, yo, this too far. You just, right before you nut is right at that perfect point of choke point. You know, I went through the whole biting each other until you almost try to draw blood. I've been nasty for a long time. I mean, I've been out there for a minute. So
did this nigga just give you the perfect boiling point to choking yourself while you beating your dick?
Yeah, man, because that shit is some freaky shit. David Carradine was onto some shit. He just took the shit too far. You gotta like choke. Oh shit, because when you bought the nut, you get strong as fuck. So you want to ease off the choke before you bust. And that's probably where he fucked up at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you remember the nigga, David Carradine, the nigga from the Journeyman movie TV show?
Yeah, we was talking about him earlier.
Kill Bill.
Yeah, Kill Bill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I actually had a professor in one of my CJ classes show a video or a picture of when it goes wrong.
Oh,
yeah. I'm about to Google that shit.
What was the purpose? What was the value of this lesson in class?
We were talking about how the blood sets in the body. That's what it all. But he was just showing us different shit that went down in Flint because he was a Flint chief of police. So,
hey Courtney, can I ask Chris a question?
Go ahead.
Chris, like the ball smacking thing, like was it like one ball smack too far, and you realized that you was off that shit?
No, just one day I just went into it. It just wasn't hype like before. Like she would do it and it kind of made my dick a little hard. And then she'd do it, I'd be like, look, hit it a little harder. Then make my dick harder. But then it was like one day I woke up probably with age. Because see, the older you get, the more sensitive your balls get. So probably with age, just was like, yeah, I ain't into that shit no more. And then you go different. I've been married a long time. You got to get nasty than the motherfuckers.
So
tough shit.
Let me ask you ladies this. At what age, and you may have already, you've been always doing, but what age did you realize that you should start communicating to your sexual partner? Hey, this is what my needs need to be met in the bedroom or the park or the, you know, kitchen, wherever you're getting in. Like, what age?
I would say I was a little older. I was like 30 when it was finally like, all right, man, enough is enough. Like, I can't just keep idly sitting by. Like, I just really want you off of me. So I need to tell you what you need to do better in order for me to enjoy this. Because I'll be 100% honest. When I was younger, I never said anything because I was always afraid of, like, am I going to hurt his feelings? Is he going to feel a way about this? I don't want to tell him that I didn't like it. Or I could just never find a way of saying, like, this wasn't it. So he seemed like he enjoyed it, so I was cool with it. But around 30, it was like, look, man, this ain't, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have, this not working for me.
And I'm with Tiffany on that. I remember, like, I tried to have the conversation with my son's father and it wasn't received well. And after him and I was over, I actually got into a relationship with somebody who was very open with the sexuality and encouraged me to talk about what I want needs. He asked me about my fantasies and I felt comfortable enough where there was a no judgment zone. So I would say at that time, I was probably 34, 35, and since 34, I ain't shut up since. You know, the past 6 years, I'm not even gonna lay here. As soon as you kiss me wrong, I'm gonna be like, you know what I mean? Did you really mean to put that tongue down my throat that much? Like, I'm gonna kill the mood from that day, from 32 until the day I die, unless the mood is good for me. But, and because I'm telling you, I lost my virginity at 13. So we're talking about 20 years, almost 20 something years that I had to go and just lay on my back or bend over and do this because we are emotional people. So we're concerned, like Tiffany said, about hurting your feelings or you not liking me anymore or not wanting to spend time or, you know, having somebody who will just let you do what you like to do because y'all don't ask. That's why I was asking, when do the conversation come up when men start to ask women what she enjoys, what she likes, when her, you know, what makes her get off? Because most of the times we find that in the bedroom by ourselves. It's not even with you guys.
Go ahead, Mr. King Keys. Go ahead, King Keys.
So I want to say around the time I started driving and my number started getting up. So we're talking about like 16, 17. That's when I would ask a female, like, you know, afterwards, you know, after we, you know, get back on the phone, whatever, you know. How was it? Is it something, you know what I'm saying, I got to do? You know what I'm saying? Let me know. Because I looked at it like college. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just take all these different techniques. You know what I'm saying? If this don't work for her, I got three other things I could do. Let me see what hit for her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, knowledge is power.
And learning when to throw some bullshit you learned away, right? Like, I mean, I think that comes with age, but like,
yeah.
Like y'all said earlier, learning that the goal ain't to see if I can put my whole shoulder blade in you and touch the and come out the.
Let me tell you this. When you eating pussy, just sticking your tongue in it.
That look, learning that too. Like,
you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling hold nasty. On, Chris, hold on.
Go ahead, King.
I'm feeling nasty and freaky as fuck tongue in you, but you know, you probably don't feel it. It's just, you know, you like, hey, hit that clit. So, you know, you may go down there and play in that area, you know what I'm saying? But you gotta attack that clit. That's really where it's at. You know,
I mean, and again, back to asking, right? Like, ooh, that some people may be overstimulated by clit. You just, you know, so.
And the side lips. Don't forget the side
lips.
Yeah,
like you gotta ask. Okay. Thank you. Any final thoughts?
You're on mute, Tiff.
I'm sorry. I just always be open to communication. Like, always be open. Like, say what you want. I don't care who you are. If it's a man, a woman, say exactly what you want and be clear about it.
That is true. So, men, remember, communicate, asking, be open to receiving criticism and or advice. And that there we go.
And start making it fun.
All right. So, bring Twister and, you know, making it fun.
Butt-naked Twister is not a bad idea.
Well, Lake had hit on something earlier about bringing toys into the bedroom. And I think that would be a fun, like, I think a lot of men aren't necessarily always open to try that.
They'd be intimidated by it because it's like, oh, you going, no, it's an enhancement.
Yeah. Or
you put a vibrating cock ring on and you come, boy, that shit shake out of you. Or,
moving on to our next topic. And we're going to go to a bit of a serious note here. And I want to know, why do Black people like to suppress the victim's oppression when it comes to abuse they receive from family members? And what I'm getting at here is, why is it always the victim seem to be ashamed in the Black culture when, you know, such and such may have touched them or such and such may have, you know, harmed them, abused them in some way? And why is it always that the victim has to, you know, hold that in while the abuser just seem to go on living life? So I'm going to start with Mr. K. I'm going to start with you. Why do Black people in the Black culture, victims have their victimization oppressed by their family members?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, I think that it's a lot of it is taboo, and it's some of those things that were always brushed under the rug that, you know, the adults never talked about, that they knew that their some family members were doing these things, or they knew somebody in their family was doing it, and it was taboo. But then I also think that they were trying to hide it so that the whole world didn't know that this happened, especially in their family. They would think that it would be a sort of a, it would be expected from the community. It would be expected something like, this is what Black people do all the time and not any other race. And I think that they just had that assumption that if they kept it quiet or if they just kept it taboo, then that wouldn't get out there like that.
Okay. Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
I would like to say that I don't think that this is just something that's unique in the Black community. I think that this is just something that happens to victims. I think that oftentimes victims feel, I mean, they're victims. They think that they did something wrong in order to have been selected by this person who's abusing them, who may have done things to them, and they blame themselves. I do think, I mean, I'm not in the white community, but or any other communities, but I know from my previous work experience, it's not unique to the Black community. But what I will say, what I do know about the Black community is that we do tend to keep, we close ranks, right? You don't want that out in the community. You don't want people to know what's going on in your household, because you would rather it, we fix our own problems amongst ourselves, as opposed to we are going to let other people in, and we let other people in and they now come try to tell us what to do, tell us what's going on, or they make us look bad in the community.
Okay. I feel that. King Keys, what are your thoughts?
I really feel like it's about protecting the offender. Like, a lot of times you may have that uncle or that cousin that you know is touching on kids. The grandma like, nah, you know how he is. Don't tell nobody. Just, you know, they make excuses for him, you know. And then meanwhile, the victim has to come around on Christmas dinner and sit at the same table, you know. So I really think it's about, you know, I don't know if it goes on today as much as it used to. You know what I'm saying? But I know back in the day, you know, that grandma figure, she was going to protect whoever was doing it. You know, they and again, they didn't want anybody else to know. They didn't want police to get involved. You know, they didn't want it brought up. You know, it's pretty much one of those things that happens and you don't talk about it. You know, you do talk about it, it's an argument or something like that. You know, I don't know why they do it, but, you know, it just makes no sense.
Thank you, sir. Late, what are your thoughts?
I am in total agreement with both Tiffany and Keith. The one thing I do believe is that there's a high percentage of African-American women who have been molested, you know, and a lot of us don't even talk amongst ourselves about our own experience. But it's just like Black boys, when little Black girls start to grow and get maturity, they're looked at more so as women, because the responsibility, the way she coddles the home or whatever, however she was raised. But I do believe that the majority of Black women, there's more Black women who have been molested. But like Keys was saying, nobody wants to talk about it. In my own family, you know what I'm saying? No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to be responsible for being the one who turned uncle in, and he's in prison and everybody has to see him missing from the table, knowing that they threw him in jail because he was touching all the cousins, you know. But we would much rather see him reform than to get help for the young ladies that was violated. And we will say that time should heal what happened to them, because time has healed what happened to him, if that makes sense. I was really shocked because I had a friend, and I think I mentioned this on the show, like, she had an uncle who raped her and the family went after her. It was her mother's brother, and her mother did not stand for it. And that was like the first time, and we were in our 20s when I heard about somebody actually being stood up for within their family. Because so many times that we could sit in a room and I could talk to other women and it'd be like, okay, well, yeah, that happened to me too. But then we want to know why girls are so promiscuous. I know what happened to me when I was 5 years old. You know what I mean? So by the time I was 13, I was very aware. I knew of things that I shouldn't even have known about and shouldn't even have been curious about, you know, but it's just the way it's supposed. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? And it's become a part of who I am. And you either grow up and don't use it as an excuse, or you get help. But we don't really believe in getting help, so we just grow up and be made to say that's part of our makeup. You know, mm-hmm. So it's bad. I think it all goes back to slavery. You know, I think it's a generational curse. You know, you couldn't say anything then, and people aren't saying anything now. And girls are still getting molested by their mother's second husband or the third nigga she decided to move in a house to help her with the bills, you know, and some of the little boys are as well, because people aren't even taking the right moves to protect their children by creating foundations where their children are safe. And that's all I have to say about that. I can go on and on. It touches my heart.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate you, you know, expressing yourself and divulging on this topic.
I agree with what everybody's saying. I think it's definitely a protection thing. And I think it's also victim shaming, right? Like it's a different mindset that we had back then. And I think some of us still have it, where like, what did they do to make this person, you know, come after them? You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of that happened. Like when there's rape victims, you know what I'm saying? Well, she shouldn't have been out there with that skimpy dress on, you know what I'm saying? You know, she brought this on herself. You know, it's a lot of that victim shaming. And it's definitely in the Black culture, right? Where, if you think about the movie Precious, right? Like that's somebody's real life, right? Like we talk about it kind of like, you know, and joke about it sometimes, but that's somebody's real life where their mom was jealous of them because they're dead, raped the kid. You know what I'm saying? The mom fucked up about it because the the dead wanted the kid, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just, it's about victim shaming and saying things like, you know, your aunt, like you came over to the house and your uncle molested you and your aunt mad at you because your uncle touched you. You like, I didn't ask. I was six. I didn't ask my uncle to do that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and then, you know, nobody. And then I think it's a matter of like, simple, like, you know, like, well, if my mom, if somebody's molested, your mom don't want to fall out with with her sister because she loves her sister. So she's like, well, their kid, they grow up, it won't affect them. They kind of think that. And I think it's a matter of, I think it's we're learning now that kids, that weighs on kids a long time. It weighs on them so long that it affects them. Like some kids grow up to be unhealthy and things like that because they want to look ugly because they were molested and they don't want this to happen to them again. And, you know, and a lot of times, even if the parent knows that it's wrong and want to do something about it, there's not somebody that they want to go to counseling and share it with. You know what I'm saying? They're, and especially with the mental health professionals, like psychiatry and psychologists, there's not a lot of black psychiatrists and psychologists to kind of go to and talk about it that understands you. You know what I'm saying? And you don't see some people that looks like you. So I think it's that where society's not set up for black people to kind of talk about these things, like where white society's not. And I'm not saying that they don't keep things to themselves and they have the exact same things that happen to them, but they actually have a lot more resources, you know, to go to because their psychiatrist that their mom been going to for years can now help them and recommend somebody that, because we never seen one, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of that kind of conversation. And then you don't want to be, you know, if your, you know, like if it's your brother-in-law, you don't want to turn your brother-in-law in because then your sister gonna be mad because you turned your brother-in-law in and he in jail. It's just, it's a whole family dynamic that's real hard, and it's really pushed down on the kids, or I'm not even saying kids, just the victim. The victim is the one that's got to take the hit for the family.
Thank you, Smitty. So I agree with everybody saying, and I agree with Tiffany, like, you know, previous profession, you know, I've seen it in all cultures that this happens. And I've seen it to the point where, you know, family members, mothers choose, you know, the offender over their daughters, or I've had it where the mother has chosen their son over their daughters having this happen. So, I mean, I think it's, like you said, in the black community, it goes back to just all the trauma we have experienced and that whole, we don't want repercussions from law enforcement because law enforcement, you know, X, Y, and Z with the black community, or, you know, we don't talk out. I mean, all of us probably grew up with saying, hey, don't talk about what's going on in this house, outside this house. We've all got that speech. Don't tell nobody. Don't open your mouth to speak unless spoken to, and don't definitely say nothing with what we do in this house. So I think that goes back to us as a community and what we experience in that trauma, and just for having children to live with that, to me, is just totally fucked up. Like, you have to live with the rest of your life feeling A, that I had this tension brought to me that I didn't want, and now I'm just trying to figure out how I even deal with that in life. But now if I do say something, I have to deal with being a pariah because I spoke up about my health and about me and caring for myself. Now I'm the bad guy for telling about what this sick fuck done to me. So I wanted to ask y'all, well, Tiffany, I'm going to get to you. What were you going to say before I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to touch on something that Smitty said that I think that is not often addressed in regarding victim blaming, especially with young girls. I think oftentimes that guys or family members tend to say like, oh, well, what was she wearing? What did she have on? She enticed this man and all of that. I think that that's the one thing that we need to get away from. Because I don't give a fuck what a 10-year-old has on. She cannot entice a grown man to rape her or to have sex with her if he wasn't already a nasty man. It doesn't work like that. That man needs to be held accountable for his actions. Like, protect those girls, protect even young guys. It doesn't matter what she has on. And women often say this, even men. I was in the South once. visiting family, and this guy, like a family member, was making these real inappropriate comments, and it's like, well, what did you have on? Why did you wear those shorts? Bro, I'm a whole kid. I didn't wear these shorts with a sexual, thinking I was going to get sexual advances. I wore them because I'm in the South and it's hot as fuck. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put shorts on. Why are we not addressing the fact that he makes these comments and no one is saying anything to him? He's the problem, not the child.
Yeah. I mean,
Courtney,
go ahead.
This is something else that I do want to address, because this happens often as well. And we got to take the little, like the young ladies out of it. But it saddens me sometimes when you have like a boy, and say this boy is somewhere between 10 and 13 years old, and he has his curiosity about sexuality, but nobody feels like it's necessary to talk to him about sexuality, but he has these feelings. And sometimes those boys are also, they make mistakes, you know, and that touches my heart and home as well, because it has happened, you know, where, you know, he may decide, like he humps on his 8-year-old cousin or something like that. But they're like, well, you're 12 and you should have known better. And it's like, but no one has talked to him about those feelings. And I've had the response to me where I asked him if he wanted to see porn. And it like hurt my heart, because I was like, you know, porn doesn't help you with your feelings. That doesn't help you get it off, especially if you, like we were talking about, the things that you guys don't know until you get up into your 20s, and the things that men don't talk about to other men about. So you have this young boy who's 10, 11, 12 years old, and he's know he's horny. He's know that he's pre-coming and things of this nature. And he has this little girl around that he's able to touch on, or he wants to see her vagina because he knows there's no place that he can really go and see a vagina, you know, and he makes a mistake, and he becomes like, I feel like he's a victim of ignorance and not being given the type of information that he needs, because he's still a kid, you know what I mean? And I've seen this happen about 4 times. And I know if you guys were in the industry, you guys seen it a few times too, where he was totally oblivious. I mean, he knew a little, I ain't gonna say he didn't know better. You know, it's like a fine line, if y'all know where I'm getting to, you know, but sometimes that kid becomes the predator or the victim in a way. And now the older uncle, you 19, 20, 30 years old, you know, your head should be shot off, you know, but what about that little boy? What's your thoughts?
No, well, so you lead me into the next part of this. What I was going to ask everybody is, how do we help heal, or what advice we give in order to going forward, moving this forward, so where we can have less victims, being able, less victims fearing reprisal, but also educating all the way around? Because again, people are taught just bad things, and you're taught bad things, not knowing that there's other ways out there, and you go about living life like that. And what, you know, like I've seen young men by their adult female cousins be molested, right? Or by their adult female mothers. I've definitely seen mothers plenty of times, you know, molest their children. And, you know, and you grow up thinking that that is false love. Like the little kids, the little boys may grow up feeling false love. And so, you know, not again, hurt people, but also you should learn the appropriate way. And I want those victims, you know, in my eyes, to be able to express themselves. You should be able, without reprisal, and if your family cut you off, then fuck your family, because you should be able to say, I was hurt, I was injured, I was traumatized, and I need to be able to express that, because that person needs to go away so it doesn't happen to anybody else. So what is some advice that y'all would give? I'm going to go with Smitty, and then we can just, I'm going to pick up from there.
I think it's definitely a matter of talking about it. I think that people have to share their experience. Because if they don't, other people won't feel comfortable coming out. I think that's what's happening with a lot of the Me Too movement, is people are sharing their experience, and they're not ashamed, and let people know that you are a victim and you don't have no reason to be ashamed about what happened to you. And I think it's that we need to make sure we talk about it, and we gotta. And I think, even as parents or as adults, we need to ask those questions too. You know what I'm saying? Hey, anything going on? You know, we need to tell them, we need to make sure we give them advice. We need to give them advice. Like, okay,
if, you know, we all, every, you know, our parents kind of tell you, like, you know, if a stranger touched you, let me know, anybody. But you got to also say, if somebody touched you, if it's a family member or whoever touched you, even if they say they don't say nothing, you come and tell me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's those conversations that we got to have with our kids. I know it's terrible to have those conversations, and it's scary to have those conversations with our kids, because you don't want it to be everybody and everything. But, you know, like, it's more like this. If you feel like you're being touched inappropriately, come tell me, right? Regardless of what that inappropriate touch is, right? If your daughter don't want to be hugged, that's inappropriate. And we need to talk to people. Let me know. You know what I'm saying? We need to really talk about what that is and if you don't want to be touched or you don't want to, come talk to me. Tell me somebody touched you, you know what I'm saying, and you didn't like it. You know, come tell me. You know, mm-hmm. It's those conversations that I think as adults we're scared to have with our kids, because we know sometimes kids can have a misperception of what that means. And then it's also a good time to educate them too. Like, I understand that your uncle hugged you and you didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? That's not the inappropriate touch I'm talking about, but it's still good. I will talk to your uncle to make sure he don't hug you, you know, like, let him know that you support them. But you know, it's just educating them on those kind of conversations and things like that, and having that conversations with your kids and building that trust bond with your kids so that they come and tell you what's going on, and let them know that, hey, report this. You don't have to report it to me. You can report it to anybody. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that they feel comfortable. If I may not be the person that you want to talk to, it may be a neighbor, it may be a friend. Like, it's okay to talk about it.
No, I totally agree with that, because I myself, you know, I pay attention to the girls. Is, you know, if with somebody come around and they, you know, pull back or reserve, you know, you got to remember, like, oh, they be like, oh, give me a hug. Nah, fuck that. They don't want to hug you. So, no. And if your feelings get hurt, you know, hey, door right there. You can go the way you came in. So, you know, definitely got to protect your children. You make a really good point, Smitty. King Keys, what are your thoughts?
Can you repeat the question just so I can get the question in full?
So, sure. So what advice or recommendations would you give, or that should be given to, so that we can empower the voice of the victims and actually put the shame that's needed on those individuals who perpetrate on, you know, children or any victim of abuse?
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, I feel like with children, you start off young, you know. I feel like, you know, I have a son, and, you know, when you have a son, you may take a shower with your son. He's 1 year old. But at a certain point, you notice him and he may play with himself or ask you about, you know, what's that? And that's when you stop those showers and then you have that talk with him. And then I feel like you're just hammering in that nail about an inappropriate touch, and then, you know, showing your private spots. With my daughter, you know, you showing those three private spots: chest, your butt, your vagina. You know what I'm saying? No one should touch you here unless we are checking you out to make sure you okay, mommy and daddy, or, you know, we're there with the doctor, you know, or washing you up. But other than that, nobody else is to, you know, touch you there. And then, you know, my oldest at 21, he's 21, and it's like, you know, hammering in with him when he was younger, getting him comfortable to talk about it, you know, because right now his relationship with him and I mean, it's like, that's my nigga. You know what I'm saying? He tells me a whole lot of shit where I can have more of an input. So I just feel like talking to the kids, educating them, telling them to be honest about things, and then holding any offender accountable. Like, I don't give a fuck who it is. You know, if you did it, then that's on you, my nigga.
Thank you, sir. Tiffany and then Mr. K.
I pretty much everybody said everything. I would say normalize having those hard conversations with your children, with family members. Shared experiences, I feel like, always make people feel a bit more comfortable, because you think as a victim that it's the only, like, this only has happened to you. But when people give their stories and you know more, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is a more common thing, and you'll be more apt to, I feel like people will be more apt to express what has happened to them and get that out and get the help that they need. And I also think that making a way for victims to not feel like victims, to know that there's strength in being a victim, because I think oftentimes people look at being a victim as weak. Like, you were weak, you were prey, and you allowed these things to happen to you. And that's not the case. Like, someone violated you and did these things to you, but that does not mean in no way that you're a weak person or that something's wrong with you. The problem is with that person.
Gotcha. Thank you. All right, Mr. K.
I think it's like a lot of people said, what they said was correct. I think also the education and knowing what to say. Make sure you come correct. If you're going to come to your child about something, you make sure you come correct so that you're not blaming them. You don't come off as you're blaming them or that you're not allowing them to speak. So get that education. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, you can ask somebody, say, how do I talk to my kids about this? Because I don't know how to do it. And there's no manual on how to do parenting with children and, you know, what step by step the thing to do. So it never hurts to ask. So I always believe that it's good that you have the education and know what to say, because it's very important, because the more you try to ignore it and the more you try to say, well, I'll try to talk to them when they're 13, then push it off more. Well, I didn't know how to say it. And then, you know, something happens and you know something's strange going on, but you just refuse to talk about it because you're afraid that you're going to say something wrong when you didn't say something in the very beginning. It's almost like you're just ignoring it and you're allowing this to happen. So like he said, it's the accountability, holding those people accountable, but then also making sure that you're approaching your child with the correct things to say and not the incorrect things, and not push them away, but show them that you are open arms. And just as much as you did when you were younger, when they were younger, you said, oh, I love you, daddy loves you, daddy, I'll protect you. You make sure that you come in correct when you have those conversations, because they're expecting to open up to you and only to you. You don't want them to open up to somebody else.
Okay. I'm going to go Chris and then Lake, take us on. So Chris, to reiterate the question, what advice would you give to make sure that victims are empowered to express their voice when they've been victimized by an offender, whether it be family or, you know, a friend or whatever?
Knock the damn screen off. Hold on. I pretty much would go with what everybody else has said. You know, it's fucked up, man. I think people should be comfortable with their family members to have a conversation if something, you know, happened like that. Whether it be tough or not, maybe find out where both parties are coming from, the victim and the offender, especially if they're family members. And I guess go from there, you know, but definitely make it a culture where people don't feel scared to talk.
Appreciate it. Okay. And then, Lake, what are your final thoughts?
I am an over talker with my son, and partially because he has like slow comprehension issues, I should say. You know, he's a tad behind. So he's known since he was a kid, I don't give a fuck who I dropped him off at. Did anybody touch your private part? Did anybody touch your pee-pee? Anybody touch your booty? I need to know. And those who know me and know me well know that I'm going to ask those questions because I'm loud and boisterous and very passionate about the subject. You know, and even with him, like, you know, he's about to be 10 this year, you know, so when people would tickle him, I'm letting him know, you're almost 100 pounds. It ain't so cute no more. And I don't really want to see you tickling your little cousins, because at some point in time, unfortunately, lines have to be drawn. And even though I have to talk to you candidly, and some, it hurts his feelings. I know it does, because I can see the innocence coming away. But I also know that if you make a mistake 2 years from now, that you will be a violator and you won't even be able to explain any mistake that you've made. You know, so I am a talker, and it may not be the right way. You know, I may find out 10 years from now, he'd be like, my mama wanted to talk about everything, you know, and I deterred him from talking. I'm not sure, but what will not happen between me and my son is anything being swept under the rug, because he needs to know I give two fucks about who it is. I don't care. I am the person that was solely responsible for your protection, and you are a part of me. And there's pieces of myself that I was unable to protect. So I put all that into him, and I want him to know I'm your own fucking personal superhero. That shit stops with me as far as somebody getting away with touching mine. You know, and I think the kids need to believe, because when we were kids, we didn't believe that we can say anything, you know, and if we said something, we seen it happen over and over again. Nothing was done. So I'm letting him know, like, your mama got a gun and a license to carry one. I can say that as of today. You know what I mean? Like, it's going down. I'm going to protect you with my life. And I want him to believe that, even if I can't.
Thank you, Lake. And so just to wrap this on up, you know, I think everybody had a great point here, is just allowing or having those conversations at any age to say, hey, you have a voice. You are able to express your voice, and be damn who is offended when it comes to your personal safety and or the trauma they've caused to you. I don't have like Mr. K said, there's no manual to this parenting shit. I know I'm coming up on the age where it's like, yeah, the girls like to be tickled, but it's like, yeah, I don't want you to feel like this kind of touch is appropriate from anybody doing it, right? And for your little boys too, like, that's how grooming starts. I've been on cases where you've seen grooming start, and it's like, it's always with a touch or just familiarizing that touch. So like, having your conversations early is definitely important. Making sure you have those important conversations, and make sure you have conversations where you yourself aren't embarrassed to have them, but as well, making sure that your children your children are not embarrassed to come to you and say, well, can I talk to you about sex? Can I talk to you what's going on with my body? Can I talk to you about what am I experiencing? My hormones is jumping up and down. Like, being open and available to have those conversations could prevent an incident of somebody lashing out and becoming the perpetrator, or allow them and empower a person to be like, well, I know this was wrong. I was taught that only people that should touch me here, and even now at this point, no one should be touching me here. This shouldn't have happened to me. So I think those good conversations will help going forward to, you know, push this issue forward and give more power to victims out there. So thank you, everybody. We're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thank you, everybody, for giving your opinion. I definitely appreciate y'all coming on. Tiffany, Mr. K, Keys, Lake, Chris, and Smitty. Thank y'all for everything, for being on the show. King Keys, give us your spiel.
What up, though? Coming in from Sky Edibles. We got some new things on the menu. Our infused henny wings. Oh, man, they so good. All you need is two. All you need is two. The flavor is so good. The high is wonderful. We also have the infused Remy wings as well, the Remy VSOP. We're going to have some cheesecakes coming in next week or so. Go ahead and check us out. Facebook, Sky_Edibles with the Z, IG, Sky Edibles. Check us out. You mentioned no repercussions. You get 10% off your order. Also, Real stoner shit. Yeah, man, we got some shirts. You like weed? I do too. We got some shirts. We got some jogger sets. Go ahead. Check those out as well.
All right. Lake.
Hey, y'all. This is your girl, Lake, and I am going to be Detroit's favorite photographer. That is my goal for the 2021. You can catch me on my Facebook page or my Instagram page. Facebook is lakeb.essence, and Instagram is lakeb_essence. Check out my work. I'm here at my studio in Southfield. And you can DM me for prices. I think it's very important for you to have your own essence captured and not some shit that you have from 10 years ago. Holla at your girl.
All right. And Mr. K.
Certainly coming in for a Valid Clothing Store. Get all your latest apparel. What is Valid Clothing Store? Is bravery at its finest. You can go on IG and Facebook, and also the website ValidClothingStore.com.
Thank you, sir. And all right, somebody take us home.
Speaking of Facebook, you can hit us up at Brunson Smitty at Facebook. No_repercussions on IG. Email is norepercussionspodcast@gmail.com. And Twitter is in repercussions. on Twitter. So we got those new new platforms. I fucked up.
No shit.
New platforms.
New
platforms. New handles.
Mouth. New mouth. Pause.
Information
on these topics.
So,
right.
So just hit us up. More to come. We're glad to be in our first season of No Repercussions. So hit us up on our socials.
All right. And with that said, thank y'all, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning into the show. And we'll check y'all out next week. One. Peace.